Hello and welcome to the second half of season 2 of the Talking Spirits podcast. My guest today is the Bosnian, Slovenian and Berlin-based jazz singer Mirna Bogdanovic, and the situation around this episode is a little bit different than usually so far. Sometime in December, while I was recording for season 2, I clicked on a Facebook ad for Mirna's debut album Confrontation, which was just released. I listened to the album and I really liked it a lot because it is very unique and special. Usually, when I really like new music from somebody I did not know before, I want to know more about the artist. This way, I, among other things, found out that Mirna was born in Sarajevo, same as myself, although some years later, shortly before the war began. That was when I decided to contact her and ask her if she could imagine joining me for a conversation. Luckily, she accepted my invitation, and what you're about to listen to was the first time we met and talked to each other. Without any further ado, let's get it going and have fun listening. Hi, Mirna. Welcome to the Talking Spirits podcast.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you also for taking the time to be my guest today. It's a huge pleasure to talk to you. The year 2020, last year, was a very unusual year, which had huge effects on the lives of us musicians and freelancers. And yeah, I mean, the way we are used to be working and we love to do it did change, or it's not possible right now. And so my first question to you would be, how did all of this affect you? And how are you feeling right now after this pandemic has been going on for close to a year?
Yeah, I think it's like, I'm already sick of it. But I also got like kind of lazy throughout the whole year in a way. I mean, I was still productive to a certain extent, but yeah, I don't know. First, it was like depressing because everything I had planned was canceled and I had like a lot of exciting things planned. And then that was all canceled. So it was like sad. And then it was sad because I just had this album ready to be released and I already had almost a deal with a label. And then everything shut down and people changed their minds. And so it was really difficult to find a label in this time, you know?
Yeah, because actually everybody, when this whole thing went down, and especially after it became obvious that it would be, because in the beginning we all thought, okay, this is gonna be 3 months and then we are gonna be back to normal. But no, when it became obvious that it would take longer, of course everybody got scared to plan or to take risks in any way. Yeah, and also, I mean, for me it was like in the beginning, because also everything got cancelled. I think about 60 shows got cancelled last year. But in the beginning, since it was spring, you know, weather was fine. And I was thinking, okay, so what can I do? I will do things which I cannot do when I'm on the road so much. And so this is how this show started, because I had the idea for a long time. And finally, I had the time to realize it. But I hit a wall like in maybe September, like, you know, 6 months in. It was just, I was not able to do anything for like a couple of weeks. So I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I think it's important. I mean, we need to find, you know, we need to create it ourselves.
Yeah, sure.
Things which are positive and which are good in order to get through it. But I mean, how is it now, right now?
No, it's fine. I mean, I actually, I'm starting to work on a new project, which is learning how to produce more with like music software programs, so that I'm more independent. And I got like a scholarship to do it. So for the next 6 months, I'm planning on finishing the music for my second album and just learning how to use all of these programs.
Well, what you're working with?
Right now, I'm just learning how to use Ableton, actually.
Yeah, I worked with Logic for a very long time. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the first Logic version I had was 2006. And then last year, when I started the podcast, I also got Pro Tools. So yeah. I'm learning Pro Tools. But Ableton, I had never worked with, but from what other people tell me, it's very suited for electronic music and stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's a good thing to do. I mean, nowadays, these things, they are... You can learn by learning by doing,
yeah.
And so it's a good thing to do. So same for me with Pro Tools. I mean, I didn't know anything about it, but I just said, okay, let me check it out. And by now I get along.
Cool.
Yeah.
No, I'm super slow with this. Like I'm taking some lessons already for a while and I just need to like really invest more time and really go for it now.
Yeah, but they are, I mean, also they are very good tutorials on YouTube or on the internet.
I know, but I'm not a tutorial person. I never was and never will be because once I click on the video and it's like, hello, today we're blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh. Then I'm just like, okay, I'm done with this. So no. Yeah. Get the answer that I'm searching for, and if I don't get it right away, I lose interest. So I rather take lessons and
just have somebody show you. Yeah, I mean, when I click a tutorial, I really, if I see it's 10 minutes long, then I just scroll until I'm.
I know, me too. Sometimes it doesn't work. They don't say. I would find videos where they don't really tell me what I want.
Yeah.
But it's also like, I take it more seriously if I, you know, pay for a lesson and I meet up with someone, then I, you know, I'm going to prepare for it.
Yeah, but I also have to say, I'm very happy to have a couple of friends who are really expert studio guys. And so if I'm fucked up with something I don't know, then I can also call them and say, and sometimes it's so funny because I try to find out something and I'm looking for it for years. And then I call my friend and I say, hey man, this and this is the problem. So what do I do? And he's like, yeah, just press this key and then you're fine. I'm like, okay. You know, I'm like, I spent an hour and I couldn't figure it out. And he's like, oh, no problem. Just press I. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. But it's also good to learn it because later when you get fine with it, it offers a lot of opportunities and possibilities. So
yeah.
I think it's a good thing. Okay, if we go back in time a little bit, if I'm informed correctly, you were born in Sarajevo, back then Yugoslavia, in 1990. And then when the war started in 92, your family, with yourself, of course, relocated to Slovenia. And what I would like to know is, how did music come to your life, and what was it, what got you attracted to music?
So everything you said was correct. And my dad, he plays guitar and sings. So, you know, like back a few generations back, like my parent generation, coming from Yugoslavia, there was like certain bands that everyone listened to.
Mm.
They all knew all of those songs. So, I mean, my dad, he was also performing for a while, like Yugo rock.
Mm.
But he, whenever we went on holiday or something, he would always have his guitar with him. And there would always be like a group of people around him somewhere on a terrace, usually somewhere on the seaside in Croatia.
Mm.
And then everyone would know all of the lyrics. We're all singing. Like, this doesn't happen anymore nowadays. Okay, maybe if you go with on holiday only with jazz musicians, then they'll know loads of songs. But not like, you know, non-musician people. We don't have that anymore, kind of.
Has changed a lot, yeah. Because I remember, I mean, when we went to Germany, I was 11.
Mm.
So I have memories, of course, and my parents, they are not musicians, but my father, he loved to listen, and he had a huge record collection. And I, you know, that what you just described, I have memories of, you know, to gather and listen to the albums and know the songs and music. So it's a, and for me, this beautiful memories, because I, you know, when I think the latest memory I have is when I was about 4 or 5. And then they had friends coming, just like you said. And I was always, I was under the table. I was, and I was just listening to the music. Yeah. So then you started with playing classical piano, right?
Yeah, because so music was always around me when I was a kid because of my dad. But then we lived in an apartment across, like somewhere in Slovenia, across the street. There was a woman who was teaching piano at the music school. So she convinced my parents to join. And then, yeah, then I was playing piano for a very long time.
Mm. Yeah, but right now you are at home in jazz. And so, you know, there are many people who think that those two worlds, let's say, cannot be combined. You know, when you have a conservative point of view, then there's many who say, oh no, you cannot mix it, or you cannot go, if you're a classical musician, you cannot play jazz, or the other way around, or whatever. And obviously you don't seem to have a problem with this. So,
well, no, I mean, I wouldn't agree to that, even though I would say that that it can be funny listening to a classical musician play jazz. If they don't go into jazz, and also the other way around.
Yeah, it's true.
Even though maybe a jazz player will play classical better than classical jazz. Sorry.
Because I know what you mean, because it's the way of thinking and acting is so different. It's much more free and you know, so then would be interesting to know, you know, when your interest in jazz music started and what it was that sparked it for you.
Mm. Well, so I was deep into classical music until finishing the high school, music high school. But while I was, you know, a classical pianist, I was also listening to other genres of music. Of course, I had like a rock period, and I also always liked to sing, but just for fun. And then when I was maybe 13 or something, I had my first rock band.
Yeah, I was a metal guy for years. I played metal.
So we played like some, first I played guitar there, but I sucked. And then I started singing. And yeah, and then I was like in another rock band. So I had a long like rock period. But then like while like singing all of that music, I somehow felt in a way limited, because at the same time, I was practicing every day these crazy compositions with like super advanced like harmony and everything. So I somehow needed something more, you know. That was not enough. I got bored of any other kind of music that was kind of like simplified or whatever. So I heard jazz for the first time, I don't know when I was still in primary school. And I just thought, wow, this is cool. I somehow had an idea about this music, even though I didn't even know it. And then slowly I started taking like private lessons, also went to a few like summer workshops, starting when I was 14 or something. First I went for piano, even though, because I was a piano player, but I had no idea about jazz, and it was quite funny. It was terrifying. But yeah, it took a long time before I actually really got into the music. I always really liked it, but didn't really understand it. And then slowly but surely, I got into it more and more.
Mm-hmm. But do you maybe remember certain albums, or you know, which really got you
into jazz?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had this album from Sarah Vaughan. I think, I don't know if, I think she, it was like, a compilation that Didi Bridgewater did or something. And yeah, I listened to that a lot. And then I listened to Billie Holiday a lot, but also not that much because I still thought she sang really weird at the time. And then, yeah, I don't know. Slowly I started listening also. I know Brad Meldow, I really loved.
Yeah, I saw the trio with Larry Grenadier and Jeff Ballard, but I don't know when. It's like maybe 2003.
Yeah, I saw them actually. I think right before Corona started, they played here in Berlin. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we went, but it's very long ago, but it was amazing. Mm. After studying jazz vocals at the conservatory in Klagenfurt in Austria, in 2012, you decided to relocate to Berlin and to continue your studies at the University of Arts. So what prompted your decision to go to Berlin and how did you get along there in the beginning?
Well, I always wanted to go to a bigger city because I'm from a very small town. So I just felt like I want to live in a big city. And yeah, I heard about the school also, I think in 2009, when I was in Italy, there was like a summer workshop that was led by the New School of Music from New York. And there was like a teacher. She was like, yeah, there's this, you know, singer teaching in Berlin and she's really good. The school is really good. So I was like, okay. So that stayed in the back of my mind. And then I somehow wanted to go there. I don't know.
Yeah, but if you think back of the time when you went, how was it for you to go into the big city and also get to a school where you start studying? What kind of memories do you have of this?
No, it was amazing. It was like in a dream. This was one of the best times of my life for sure, moving to Berlin. Like the first year was just so great because I don't know, the school was amazing, so many amazing professors and so many good musicians studying on such a high level. It was all I wanted, really. And there was just the city and so much going on and everything was perfect.
Cool. Yeah, it's great when it goes like this. Yeah, when you really find what you were looking for when you decided to go. I don't know when you finished your studies, but you finished it and you decided to stay in Berlin. And so right now you would be living there for like 8 years or maybe 9 years. And so I would like to know, could you share your impressions on the city and also the music scene and the arts scene from your nowadays perspective? That now that you have been living there for so long?
Well, it's hard to even remember how it is because of this corona situation. I'm mostly at home watching Netflix. That's my jazz scene. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I like Berlin because there's space for a lot of different, styles.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's still a hype for a certain thing, I would say. But like in any city, I think there's like a specific kind of direction jazz goes to, like depending on where you live, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think like Cologne has its own kind of little vibe. And then Berlin is bigger, so maybe there's a little bit more variety. Or like if you compare it to New York, I mean, New York has even more variety, but still, if you think about people that are super known and coming to Europe to play, there's a specific kind of style, right? And I think in Berlin, thankfully, there's enough space for a lot of different things. And yeah, I like it that there's somehow still like a lot of good singers. So you feel like you need to maybe try a little bit harder.
Sometimes competition can be a good thing because it motivates you to go.
But yeah, I don't know. Like, we have our places where we kind of like hang out, but I don't know. It changes a lot after you stop studying, then people spread out, you know. It's a different kind of vibe.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. But you still like it to live in Berlin.
Yes, definitely.
On the 18th of December of last year, so now today is the 14th, I think, so close to a month ago, you did release your very impressive, I have to say, very impressive debut album with your own compositions. Yeah. And it's called Confrontation. And releasing a first album under your own name and with your own songs, I think is quite an undertaking, and maybe even more for a singer than for an instrumentalist. Yeah, and firstly, I would like to congratulate you on the release, because I really think it's wonderful. It's a wonderful album. And to start this topic, would you be willing to share a little bit about the path from, you know, mastering the courage to start writing music and songs up to now, where the first album finally got released?
Yeah, it was a very long process. I think I started writing super slowly, like while studying. And I must say, now maybe I'm in between, I spent more time writing, but it's not like I'm writing 100 songs every day or something. But I definitely now I'm a little bit more self-confident, because, you know, you start creating something and you have no idea, is this anything that means anything? Or so, it took me a while before I got into it a little bit more. Or kind of like discovered a system how to do it, and that somehow leads to a final product or shape. You know? And then slowly throughout my studies, I got together enough songs for my final concert at the Jazz Institute.
So for and the then, exam, for the
yeah, ex- for my okay. final exam. Because I was very ambitious and I wanted it to be very special, you know. And then after I was done, there was always a plan to record an album. And I got, like, after I was done with studying, I applied for like a scholarship that you can apply at the University of Art. The first 3 years after studying, you apply for that. So I got that, and I had 1 year to work on a project, basically, and was not allowed to work a lot next to it. So that 1 year I dedicated to work on my music and to, you know, write the songs till the end and then record the album. Of course, it took longer than 1 year, but...
But did you, at your exam, did you already play songs which are now on the album? Or
yeah, actually, yeah. I mean... I think we played Cold Lake and maybe another song. But yeah, I mean, then afterwards I recorded like a small EP, which I didn't really advertise, because it was more for like promotion purposes. So it wasn't like a high quality production or anything like that. I got changes. We also played on the exam, and then I recorded like 4 songs and 2 songs from that little EP we re-recorded then for the album.
For me, it's always like, you know, the best albums are the ones I really love to listen to even years later. And those which have like many little details, you know, and very fine and subtle nuances and things which really want to be discovered and which want to, you know, where you need to pay attention. And I think with your album, for me at least, this is absolutely the case. And I also think that, you know, the title Confrontation is actually pretty spot on, you know, because, yeah, I mean, in the compositions, you combine, like, you know, aesthetically, a straight ahead jazz aesthetics and instrumentation, but then also you work with modern electronic elements and you combine lyrical songwriting with avant-garde instrumental passages. And also, you know, even the way you use your voice holds a confrontation as well, because, you know, depending on what the song is asking for, you use it for, sometimes you use it for sharing your lyrics, but also you use it as an instrument, you know, like, and so there's really like lots of confrontations. But you know, when I think about, and I was really thinking about this, because when I think about the word confrontation, mostly is, or very often it is used with a kind of negative connotation, you know. But what I like so much about your album is that the confrontations are actually pretty smooth, you know. and also as a piece of art, I think it's really one, you know, it's a one cosmos, and it's I never have a feeling that any of the elements is like standing out in a negative way or whatever, you know. Nothing is out of line. So my question now, after I have said how I feel about it, my question would be like, you know, what can you say about the way you write music, and how do you manage to make the confrontations as smooth as they actually are on the album?
Well, thank you very much for such a beautiful description. Welcome. Actually, it was quite spot on. It was also part of this project I had for the scholarship, because I had to, you know, somehow write a text about, you know, I had to write a proposition what I wanted to do in that 1 year. So I really thought it through, like, what could be my project? And then I thought, like, actually, I really realized a lot of things. It's so funny. Sometimes you need to be, like, forced to write about something and really make up something so that you realize a lot of things what were maybe, like, either bothering you or, you know, that you feel strongly about, but you don't really realize it until then. So, yeah, I felt like I want to figure out what the role of a singer is anyways, and show all of these different sides of the voice, and maybe even like a vocal group inside.
Like a cappella?
Not just a cappella, but like, because we know a cappella, right? We already know a cappella. So I wanted to do something that's new, you know? Something that would be interesting for me. So I wanted to, I don't know, I always listen to a lot of like instrumental music as much as I do, you know, vocal music. And then I also, I don't know, I somehow was listening to a lot of maybe just voice being like an instrument kind of stuff. And I don't know, I felt like I want to have a variety of things also, because as often already mentioned, you know, when I go to a concert and I hear an instrumental band, let's say without a singer. And then, I mean, even if I really like it, sometimes I have the feeling it would be so much more powerful if there would be a voice not taking the whole attention, you know, so that the band is serving the voice, but maybe just as a color. And at the same time, maybe feeling like with that, singers could be just called more, you know, for like sideman jobs, because they're also as capable as saxophone players, and sometimes sound even better, you know. At the same time, when I go to a singer, like a vocal concert, if I go to like two sets of music, as very often like so much of the voice that I'm like, after one set, I'm like, okay, fine, I had enough, you know. So I just felt like I want to do the same. Like, I want to find a middle with my music. How to be a sideman, but be in the front, and how to be equal with other voices, but then also not, maybe, and how to, you know, just playing around with these things and allowing also a lot of instrumental parts in between, you know?
Yeah. And I would say, you know, from listening to the album, I would say, you know, you have been pretty successful. and so one thing which really strikes me as well, you know, is, you just mentioned it a little bit, is your way of working with choirs and backing vocals. Because I think, you know, backing vocals and choirs, when it's done right, you have the chance to open up a new dimension within the music. And, you know, and I think in this album, in your album, it's wonderful. And also with Pauline, I hope I'm spelling the names properly, with Pauline Peek or Peek and Dora Osterloh, you have two singers who you trust with delivering the choir parts. And so it would be interesting to know, you know, how is your approach when you approach backing vocals and choirs? And also I could imagine that, you know, it might not have been easy to find other singers who would be able to sing it the way you are hearing it in your head, or when you maybe do a demo and you do it yourself. And so also, what can you tell us about the Pauline and Dora?
Yeah, I was just trying to find someone who would be blending well with my voice, but at the same time, just like capable of learning weird stuff, you know? So just to like minimize the practice time. I got to meet them through different situations, and I thought they would be perfect for this project.
Yeah, it sounds amazing.
Thank you.
Amazing. But let's say when you have a song and you start working on the voices, you know, how do you approach it? I mean, is it rather, do you approach it from a gut side, from your feeling, or is it also like cognitive? Or do you just experiment and see what sounds cool, what you like?
Well, I don't know, because sometimes I added, you know, the voices afterwards. They were just written songs, because most of the songs I write on the piano. And I already write very specific chords that are sometimes difficult to describe. And then also maybe write some texture, you know. Then there was like the time when we were supposed to go on tour, and I was like, well, I want to go with the singers, but I don't have enough songs with the voices that, you know, so that it would make sense to take them with. So I was like, I'm going to add them now in this song, in this song.
So, you just needed to do something to make.
So they took over a lot of the instrumental parts, you know, but sometimes I also wrote deliberately for voices. But I think, let's say, like in this song, July, like this very short song, there I definitely wanted to, I heard the voices before, you know, but some parts were like patterns. Patterns was a very, like, kind of just playing around on the piano, and then I was like, oh, this would actually be cool with voices.
Yeah, but I really think, you know, this part of the whole experience is very special. And really beautifully done, you know. So,
Thank you. Because
I mean, there's lots of music which has backing vocals, of course, obviously. Mm-hmm. But to really feel that, you know, somebody really went into it and you know, made, you know, had an idea or made up, like, you just went deeper into the whole thing than it's very often done. And I think that this adds a really beautiful additional dimension to the music. So wonderful, really cool. What I also like, you know, when listening, is that the other musicians who are playing on your album with you, for me, you know, they, I mean, I think I just heard the name of Vanya. I don't know him, but I was trying to remember in which context I read the name, but I cannot remember. But the other guys, I actually didn't know, you know, the names. But what I really like is when I listen to how they play the music, it sounds like a real band, you know. It mm-hmm. doesn't sound to me like, you know, somebody just put together a bunch of guys who can play well and just say, let's record. Because this is very often also how it goes, you know. But in your album, I think I really think it sounds like a real band. And also, you know, handling the very diverse stylistic approach is also something which many people are not able to do. You know, somebody, let's say, I don't know, like a drummer or pianist, they can be very good at playing traditional or playing modern and electronic. But to do both, to combine it, is not very... You have really to find the right people for this. So, yeah, so what can you tell us about the other musicians and also about the way you prepared for the recording and maybe the recording session itself?
Well, the whole rhythm section was already playing on my final exam at the school, you know. So we played together already quite a lot. And it was intended to be, you know, to stay that way also for the album. So, we had our first concert as a tryout, the eight of us, in December, right before Christmas of 2018. And this was like the first time we ever played together. I think we just had one rehearsal or so. A very short rehearsal and then the gig. So it was really good. I mean, it could, of course, shaky because the arrangements were so demanding, but it was a really cool concert. And then I booked, I think, like one or two more concerts in the beginning of 2019. And then we had like, we were rehearsing already with the singers and sometimes with the band in between. And then Vanya came along. Like, I mean, he played with us those concerts already, but then we had like proper 2 days of rehearsing sometime in March, beginning of March 2019. Then we had like 4 concerts, like a little tour, and then we went into the studio. I mean, the whole rhythm section, we definitely played quite a lot together, but like with Vanya, it was more fresh and with the singers. But yeah, we had like 4 days in the studio, so.
So it's even more impressive. Yeah, but you recorded in Poland, right?
Yeah.
And but what kind of studio or what kind of space was it?
There's like a pretty good studio there. It's called Republika Studios. And it's quite big. So it was enough space for us to partly record in separate rooms.
One really crucial and central part of the album are your lyrics as well. And also with the lyrics, you know, I think nowadays in so much of the music, lyrics are very often superficial, and at least, I mean, I'm very subjective here now, you know, but very often when I hear something, I think, okay, they were rather taking care of something sounding cool or hip, you know, but it's not saying anything or it's not touching me, you know.
Yeah.
When I listen to your lyrics, I think, you know, I feel that they are pretty personal, and together with the music, you manage to paint a picture in front of the listener's inner eye. So when I close my eyes, you know, I can really see what you're singing about. And I think this is, you know, this very special quality in a singer, in my perception. And so what can you share about the process of writing lyrics? And also when you compose, I mean, do you have a lyric idea first or do you have a musical motive first and then get the lyrics later? So how does this go?
No, usually I always write the music first. But when I'm, so my process is like, I'm sitting at the piano or now I even start playing ukulele. So I'll be like always recording myself because I never remember what I played if I'm just like improvising something. Yeah, I'll be like, maybe I find a pattern or something that I like. And then I, you know, when I find something good that I'm playing on the piano, usually it starts with the piano. And then I'll be like adding some vocals on top. And I'm just like, you know, just getting in the mood and like improvising something. But while I'm singing, I'm already just using random words that come out without thinking about it. And sometimes that sets the mood already. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes I change it completely. But sometimes I don't know, some word comes out and I'm like, oh, this is actually, I could like play with that maybe. So there's not really like a very long planned story behind it, you know? Sometimes you just need like a title. And then, to be honest, the like lyric writing is definitely the most exhausting for me, just because I, you know, I'm a musician. I don't see myself as a songwriter really primarily. And I don't know. I of course force myself to do it, so I have something to sing about. But I do once, so basically what I do then when I record myself, I have like maybe random words coming out and a kind of like an idea of a melody. And then maybe I kind of develop that, but then I develop it till the end with the text, right? And then I have a text, and then I meet up with a friend of mine. Her name is Sophie Barker, and she's an amazing singer-songwriter from UK, but lives in Berlin. And then she comes over, and then we read the text, because I'm also not a native English speaker, so I don't trust myself completely with writing. You know, I don't know if it sounds like fine or not. So then we meet up, and we read the text. Then we're like, okay, how could this sound a little bit more fancy, you know? So it's not such plain language, or, you know, change some grammar stuff. Or
yeah. Yeah, cool. No, but really, I mean, for me at least, I mean, it's always very different, you know, when we do something, the perception which I have on the music I'm writing or playing is always different from when people are listening. But at least for me, you know, it makes sense, because I feel that the lyrics, they really fit with the music. And so, yeah, you know, in the emotional expression, yeah, it just makes sense. It's cool.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And today when I got home, you know, I found the CD in my mailbox, and I was very happy that it arrived, so I could see, you know, the artwork and booklet. And also, this is also very special nowadays with the streaming and also the physical product being, you know, let's say pretty much on the back burner, you know, because everybody is streaming, people are not buying. And I always find it very, it's just amazing when somebody puts out a physical product, which is where they also, let's say, put in the same dedication to the, you know, to the artwork as they put into the music. And when I, you know, and I opened the envelope, and I was like, wow, that's a quite, you know, quite a thick CD. And then I was like, yeah, you know, because it's so cool. I think, you know, like, I mean, of course, I also do use Spotify, especially when I'm on the road. Then it's just convenient, you know, to be able to listen. Sure. But I really love, you know, just sitting down and just reading, you know, opening it, watching the pictures and reading the lyrics. And so also very beautiful.
Thank you.
I think it's a good thing to do, you know, to really put in some dedication into this too. And also in this way, it fits very well with the feeling I have when I listen to the music. So really cool.
Yeah, I mean, this was done by an amazing artist from Slovenia, actually. His name is Nenad Cizl. You should check him out. He She's a very versatile artist and very successful. And yeah, I've been following him for a long time, like on Instagram. He has a really cool Instagram page as well. And yeah, I don't know. I always had an idea. I want him to do the artwork just because I know he's so good, you know.
But did he have the chance to listen to the music when he was working?
Yeah, yeah. He first listened to the music and then he got the ideas about.
Cool. Yeah, that's really... But you couldn't do vinyl, right?
I didn't do vinyl because, to be honest, like this whole album has cost me so much money. You can't even like imagine. And it was all like basically financed by me. So,
of course, as a bass player, I had to notice that one of the songs on the album is not an original composition from you. But it's a composition by Jaco Pastores, the song Rain. And why did you pick, and also I have to add, it's a beautiful, knowing the original version of his, I think your rendition is beautiful. And so is there a particular reason why you chose to do this song?
Yeah, so this is like, the song Rain is basically... it's from a group called Sisters with Voices, and they basically took the melody from Portrait of Tracy.
Yeah, which he's playing just by himself on his fretless bass.
Yeah, exactly. And they sampled this, they took it as a backing track, and then a guy named Brian Alexander Morgan did the rest of the song for this 90s R&B band. And yeah, I don't know. I really like to, arrange songs that have the space for that. So I was just searching for a song that could fit. And I kind of heard something when it came to this song. So I don't know. I just wanted to have one song that wouldn't be mine on the album.
Yeah. And for me, it was so funny because when I listened for the first time, I didn't have the booklet or anything. I just was listening on Spotify, and then the melody started and I'm like, yeah, because obviously, you know, being a bassist, I mean, Jaco Pastores, his first album, I think any bassist has listened to it a million of times.
Yeah.
And so I was very familiar with it, of course. And then I was like, da-da-da-da. I'm like, yeah, I know this.
Yeah.
And yeah. And so also, you know, I think it's a very, because actually approaching something like this, you know, doing a rendition, I mean, we can say that his original version is quite iconic, you know. And it's always a tricky thing to do it in a way which, you know, which pays respect to the original, but still manages to, you know, to have something new and something own. So that was a very nice moment when you know, the album is out now, and from I have been checking out a little bit, and from what I saw is that also the reception by the press is very positive. And now, actually, if it was not for Corona, now would be the time where you would take it on the road, you know, and play the songs live. And I can imagine that you are looking forward to doing this. So, yeah. But will you do it with the same lineup as on the album?
No, we already now set up the band with a different lineup, just because, I mean, I would love to do it with a bigger band maybe at some point. We get like a really good festival offer or something. But otherwise, it's so difficult booking an 8-piece band, especially now when it's Corona. In between, when there was a possibility to perform it anyways, would be almost impossible to do it like with voices, you know. So, and it was so stressful dealing with 8 people at the same time, to be honest. As a band leader, it was just like taking away all of my, you know, somehow joy in doing that.
Yeah, I mean, booking as such is very tedious when you have to do it yourself for your own music. Because you don't have, you know, I mean, it's very hard for us as artists and musicians to sell, you know, our heart, so to speak. But I also would say, you know, I mean, with time, things, this type of stuff, because, I mean, the music is really amazing and it's very special. I think very important thing about this is just to stay on it and not to give up, which is very difficult to do sometimes.
Yeah.
But I'm very curious. I mean, we hope, of course, that in the course of this year will be possible to play live again. And yeah, I'm very curious to see what's going to happen. And I also hope I can see you guys live sometime, because I would love to. Would love to experience it, you know, on stage. Yeah, so, you know, we have now, I mean, we have talked about a lot of things, like, you know, past, present. And so if you would, if you try to take a look into the future, are there any, let's say, goals or dreams or ideas which you, you know, which you did, which you want to realize, but which you did not realize yet? Is there anything where you think like, oh, this is something I would love to do?
Other than music or in music?
No, in music.
Well, yeah, exactly. This is what I'm trying to learn now, how to, you know, work with these software, music software programs, and become good at that. So I don't know how good it's going to be at the end, but at least use it in my advantage, you know?
Yeah, yeah, but I mean...
This is a long-term goal.
This is, but this is a process. I mean, it's actually this type of stuff is same as music itself. It never stops, and you can always, if you always find little things and which can be better. But I think it's just good to do it, you know?
Yeah.
Let's say the things which you are dealing with right now, in 5 years from now, you will be remembering and you will be like, ha, you know? So this is...
Hopefully.
Yeah, it will come. There's a time for everything. Mm-hmm. And so I would be like, when I listen to your music, I would be pretty confident, you know. I think it's going to be, you know, things are going to sort themselves out eventually.
Well, thank you very much. I hope so too.
Welcome. Yeah, it will be happening. Okay. So I would say we are now approaching the end of our conversation for today, which I really enjoyed a lot.
Me too.
And thank you for taking the time to be my guest. And of course, the guest shall have the final say. So is there anything you would like to share with our listeners to end?
Yeah, I just want to say, first of all, thank you for inviting me. It was a pleasure. And I still didn't check out your music. I will do, though, I promise, very soon. And otherwise, thanks for anyone who's been listening. And go buy my CD, please.
Yeah. I mean, I can just second it, because it's really worth it. And not just listening on the streaming, but really have the physical product, because it's, you know, it's only then that you have the full experience.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so thank you very much. And of course, my best wishes for the album and for everything you decide to do. Yeah, and hopefully see you in real life sometime.
Yes. Likewise.
You have been listening to Talking Spirits Podcast, episode number 20, with Armin Alic and Mirna Bogdanovic. Thank you for tuning in and staying with us today. Check out Mirna's album Confrontation and order a copy from her if you like it. The experience is really worth the little investment. My guest next week is the excellent German percussionist and my dear friend Max Klaas. Max and I are playing together in the Royal Street Orchestra since the band came together back in 2009. In 2009, Max had just turned 16, so there's lots of history and also lots of funny stories. which we are, among many other things, covering in our conversation. Please feel free to visit my homepage www.talkingspiritspodcast.com for more interesting conversations and further infos about the show. Feel free to get in touch with me anytime. I'm always very glad about people reaching out and talking to me about many different things. Stay healthy and safe, and see you again next week.